The title of my presentation is Simulation Analysis and Outlook for Georgia Cotton Production. Before I begin, I'd like to state that I noticed other presentations in this session have to do with genetics and physical crop improvements. But my presentation is directed mostly towards economics of cotton production in Georgia. I'll start off with the good news about cotton production in Georgia, and that is the increasing trend in yields that we have experienced since 1999. When you compare this data to U.S. data, there's a similar result for the country as a whole. This indicates that the research and work that has been put into improving the cotton plant have been successful. This chart compares yield indexes for the major field crops grown in Georgia. The most solid black line with the square blocks is cotton. That doesn't work so well. Right here. We see that cotton yields have increased 45% if we benchmark them back in 1999 with an index of 1. And this is only exceeded by the yield increases for soybeans. However, we see that in recent years, since 1993, the soybean yields have been declining. So we have the most optimistic outlook for continued yield increases in cotton. Georgia cotton prices have, as U.S. cotton prices have remained relatively at around a constant level of 45 cents per pound since 1999. We can see since 1994 that the average has been a little bit above and below 45 cents per pound, and we don't have nearly as much volatility in recent years. Increasing cottonseed value that we have experienced in recent years reduces cotton variable cost. I use a term called net variable cost that has the value of cottonseed sold deducted from the ginning cost. This chart shows the comparisons of variable cost per acre for the major crops in Georgia. Peanuts have always had the highest variable cost per acre, and soybeans and wheat have had the lowest variable cost per acre. Historically, corn has been slightly less expensive to produce per acre than cotton, but corn has been less expensive to produce than cotton. But in recent years, two things have happened. The value of the cotton seed has increased, which has tended to relatively decrease the variable cost. At the same time, fertilizer costs, especially nitrogen cost, have increased the relative cost of corn production. This chart shows a comparison of ginning cost and cottonseed value. This dotted line is the ginning cost. We see that it has a relatively stable upward trend in recent years. The solid line is the value of the cotton seed, and if we compare that to the net ginning costs, we see that as the cotton seed value has increased in 2007 and 2008, the net ginning cost has been a negative number, indicating that the farmers have received revenue back from the gin because of the value of the cotton seed. Here we see the components of cotton variable cost, cotton cost per pound. Fixed costs are a little bit above 10 cents per pound. Land costs are slightly below 10 cents per pound. Variable costs have trended around 40 cents per pound, but this year they have increased to 48 cents per pound. And total costs have been around 60 cents per pound, and this year have increased to 68 cents per pound. This chart shows a comparison of the price received for cotton compared to the variable cost of cotton and total cost of cotton. In years since 2004, the market price received has been above variable cost, but in 2008, there has been a convergence in the price of market price of cotton received, is just enough to cover the variable cost. And we see that the total cost far exceed the market cost. But keep in mind from our previous chart, these total costs are due to land and fixed cost, or the machinery costs that are involved in cotton production. This chart is a five-year moving average that compares the U.S. cotton price to the adjusted world price. We see that back in 1999, the difference was ranged from 7 to 8 cents per pound. In recent years, this difference has declined, and now and we see that the statistical expected value is around 3.8 cents per pound U.S. price above the adjusted world price. This leads to an expected price received by the farmer with a price floor of 56 cents per pound. To investigate what this means to the typical farm, I conducted a farm simulation analysis. Production costs and yields are weighted, irrigated, and non-irrigated averages. Returns to variable costs includes the LDP. And in this analysis, I use the traditional countercyclical payment instead of the acre option that will be available in 2009. This is the data for the simulation analysis. Prices, yields, base acreage, and planted acreage for 2008. We see that cotton acres are less than the base acres because of the relative returns in recent years. There's been a shift from cotton planting to corn planting. Now, these are the simulation results for this year. See that we have an expected farm income for the average farm in Georgia of $45,000. Now we'll do a similar simulation for 2009. Notice if we go back and see the yield, compare the yields for 2008. 2008 had exceptionally good yields for cotton and peanuts. In the 2009, I'm using a historical-based trend-adjusted expected value, and the expected value is lower than what was actually realized in 2008. And these are the outcome of the results. We have a negative farm income of negative $33,000. This chart shows a comparison of the 2008-2009 simulations. We see the farm income comparisons, drastically different. Look at the return to variable costs for the peanuts, cotton, and corn crops. In 2009, the expected return to variable costs for cotton far exceeds all other crops. And peanuts and corn are drastically lower, have a drastically lower expected return to variable costs in 2009 than they do in 2008. So cotton, even though it's a dubious distinction, is going to be the crop with the most positive return to variable cost outlook, even though it's going to be, if these results hold, it will be a severe situation for the farm, for the whole farm situation. What are the implications for these comparative simulation results? One is that there could be downward pressure for all 2009 crop input prices before spring planting. Most every university that puts out budgets for 2009 has already done so. But with discussion with colleagues, there is a feeling that since the time these budgets were developed with probably November input prices, there will be some decline in prices between now and planting. Another interesting aspect for Georgia is the relative importance for peanuts. Peanuts traditionally, even back, especially back during the quota period, have been a crop that could carry the farm income for a whole farm situation in Georgia, planting peanuts, cotton, and corn. What has happened in recent years, input prices have increased so much, and we saw in our chart that peanuts are so expensive to produce, peanut prices have not kept up with these increases. And so peanuts historically have been a crop that farmers in Georgia, cotton farmers in Georgia, could depend on, but now this is no longer the case. We compare peanut returns to soybeans and wheat, which could be double cropped, and we see that peanuts, which had a negative $1 return to variable cost outlook, are going to be exceeded by potentially by a combination of soybean and wheat double cropping. At the same time, there should be upward pressure from the expected value that I apply for peanut prices. Peanut prices are more domestically determined than cotton, corn, wheat, and soybean prices. Most of the peanuts produced in Georgia are for peanut butter, and there might be some upward pressure for prices. Another implication is the WTO and U.S. public policy. Quotas and tariffs are components of economic trade theory, which is a legitimate WTO realm. U.S. input cost and cotton prices have little correlation. U.S. production has advanced technology. It's capital intensive, especially for equipment compared to other competing producers in the world. The subsidies for cotton production, the LDP, the direct payment, and the countercyclical payment, are a reallocation of U.S. public capital into field crop sectors by public policy decisions in the United States. What we have had is a policy of target pricing that maintains a balance between production cost and revenue. And new programs such as ACRE are intended to appease WTO regulation. We have economic theories of public finance and welfare analysis. And when we bring in the economic analysis from these theoretical realms, we can ask the question, is the WTO a legitimate entity? We have public finance theory, which is based on national sovereignty. And welfare improvements are country-specific and are based on individualistic measures, such as includes farmers, and not world aggregates. At this time, I will have time for questions and comments.
We have plenty of time for questions. Thank you.